You're listening to The Local Lounge. Have a seat with the DFW local music scene and your host, Zach Killian.
Hello and welcome to The Local Lounge on Talk Radio 1190. We're here with the DFW local music scene, giving you everything and anything behind the music. And we've got some special guests today. We've got Lydia Lowe and Ben the bassist. What is your last name, Ben?
It's Riley.
Ben Riley.
Yes.
So what's going on, guys? Glad to have you in the 1190 studios.
Yeah, thanks for having us here.
Oh, no problem. So I was just skimming through Facebook and I saw some videos on you and I had to bring you in. So first off, before we get into the subject matter that you brought up, I want to talk about the both of you. What brought you into the music scene, why you're here, and why you're just up on stage performing for people.
Oh, boy.
It's
a genetic problem. We have a compulsion. I've been performing in various ways since I was a kid. My mom says that I would actually run on stage even if I wasn't involved in the performance and insist on dancing, which I don't do now. I can't dance to save my life. But I've been performing as a solo artist for about 7-8 years. More than that. Let's not go into how many years. I've been doing this for a while as a singer-songwriter, but recently, along with Ben Riley and Bree Hill, who's back in Dallas waiting for us, Denton waiting for us, we are In Spite of Madness. We are a 3-piece alt-rock project. Yep.
So alt-rock, so what inspirations go into the alt-rock sense that you're bringing?
For us, we say alt-rock because we don't like other terms that would probably use for us. Our influences... Well, for me, I come from like a more bluesy pop rock background. Ben and Bree are the prog people, so it's like a grungy bass with sprinklings of prog on top, I suppose.
I could dig some prog.
Yeah. It's a fun project. I started this because I was starting to build up a lot of rage and my singer-songwriter stuff wasn't cutting it anymore for what I needed. Because, you know, performance is a balance between, like, creation and also expression. And for some people, it's like free therapy. So, yep.
So you got into music as a therapeutic session. So how did you go from the point A of just playing by yourself to going on stage in front of people? Like, what made you one day decide that?
I think I've always watched other people do things and... If something about what they were doing appealed to me, I would be like, I think I can do either exactly the same thing or better, which is an odd way to pick your career, I suppose. But I always enjoyed music. I grew up in a musical family. My mom's a concert pianist. My dad dabbles in all the areas of music, and my brother's a guitarist as well. And since young, we've been doing recitals and being involved in concerts and stuff. But jumping from things like choir to actually grabbing a guitar and performing... The first one was by accident. I was supposed to do a class project for a talent show, and the class put my name down because I was the only person who actually played an instrument in the group, and then they all ditched me those two auditions. And I just figured, I'm all here anyway. I'm just going to shoot for it. And
solo?
Yeah, that was my first solo show with a hat on to cover my face and a lot of hair and high boots for some reason, even though it was Singapore weather. And I've always enjoyed the challenge of putting myself out there, but also I do enjoy just playing music. I feel the happiest when everything just clicks into place and I'm performing and everything's just flowing and it's fun.
So you brought up performing in Singapore. So what was the transition like of going from Singapore to Texas? Because that, like I was talking to you about, that's quite a cultural shift.
A little bit, yeah. Ben's actually, ironically, been here longer than I have, even though he wasn't born here.
Yes.
Where are you from, Ben?
I'm English.
English,
yes.
Wow.
Born there and everything.
That's awesome. So we're getting a little bit of
everywhere
world culture here. I like it.
Ironically, I was born in Texas. My parents both went to UNT, but we left when I was 3 years old, and I lived in Singapore most of my developmental years. It was quite a bit of a shift. Firstly, I was very confused why people kept talking to me. At drive-thrus, like they ask you how your day is going, and then they follow up with more questions after that. And I was not used to things like that. Or people on the street going like, "I like your hair." I'm like, "What? Wait, what are you talking to me? I don't know you. What's going on? Why?" People are definitely more friendly here in
that's
the
that
South.
Southern hospitality.
Yeah, that's what my aunt was warning me. Like Southern hospitality, you got used to it. That's definitely one part I had to get used to. I also, people would ask me a lot, like, what the difference was. My friends back home would ask me, like, hey, what's the difference moving to Texas? Do you ride horses to school? And are there tornadoes every day?
My cousin legitimately thought that since we have my parents have a couple acres of land, mm-hmm. that when he came to visit from England, he's like maybe 8, 9, 10, something like that,
yeah.
that he would have to worry about being attacked by bears.
That's really cute. I honestly didn't know what to expect when I first moved here. I knew that there was a lot more sky because it's so open and flat. And Singapore is like skyscrapers and trees everywhere. driving everywhere is also a new thing. I just drove from Florida and all the way to Florida and back to help my mom with some stuff. That was interesting. Like in Singapore, you just hop on a train or bus or something. You don't have to ever get behind the wheel if you don't want to. But the biggest variation I find is the variation of people and how much that different... I am not saying this right. The range of people you get here is greater.
Oh, yeah. I get what you mean.
Yeah, diversity. In a sense. Diversity of personalities, of aspirations, of everything. I think like the worst people are a lot worse here, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to bigotry and such. And
especially these
days. Exercising their freedom, mm-hmm. so to speak. And then people who excel and try to be something more than what they were cut out for, I think that level is much higher here as well. And I enjoy that.
I mean, trying to reach, that's what this show is all about. It's talking to people that are trying to reach their dreams, and we're actually trying to give advice to people that want to do the exact same.
Yeah.
Because music, I always bring this up, it's a very, very tough field to work in while also trying to strive for what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's going to be difficult, but that's why I bring y'all in, because it's just inspirational in a sense. Like, I don't want to sound too sappy or anything, but... that's what I love about musicians. They're the most inspirational people I've ever met. And I could say that about y'all, too, because you're constantly out there working, trying to show people your art and medium. But speaking of that, you guys got some shows coming up, and I want to bring that up before we go to break in a couple minutes. So
yeah.
You got one coming up tonight, right?
That's tonight, right, yes.
Yes, Backyard and Bell.
We're quite excited.
Fortunately, the heater's out because it's going to be a bit chilly later. they have a new stage up. Backyard and Bell's one of the newer venues in Denton, and we've loved them. They've been very kind to us.
So many dogs.
Staff is great. And yeah, dogs.
Dog-friendly, outdoor
very
venue.
Very dog-friendly.
It's lovely.
I can dig dog-friendly.
Yeah, and also there's the fun game of when the trains go past. We've decided that if their train goes past, you know, the what's it, the horn? What's a loud whistle?
I would call that a horn.
The horn, the train horn. When the train horn starts blasting, yes,
that's the one.
That goes
that's
on
one.
Forever. Any song we're playing at the moment becomes a punk song until the train passes.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's the new game we're playing.
Incorporate into that the song. It'll be a blue song.
Yeah, it's part of Thin Line Fest. It's a 3-day festival. Started on...
4-day festival.
4-day festival. Started on Thursday.
Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Thursday? Wednesday?
I think
Wednesday.
It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
Right.
Like it opened for badge collection and merch and stuff on Wednesday, but it started on Thursday. And yeah. We're really excited to be part of the festival.
It's been a lot of fun going out. Yeah.
And it'll be the Get-Go from Dallas starting off the show, and then Hen and the Cox, who are always really explosive live, and then us. So it'll be a good show.
Heck yeah. What time is that up there?
Starts at 9.
We go on at 11.
Cool. So you guys got plenty of time to go out there and catch
everyone else that's happening.
Yes.
Yes.
Come for the show.
Yes.
Stay for the booze.
Oh, yeah.
Stay for the booze and the pizza.
Oh, the pizza's quite good too. Yeah.
Looks like we got a little bit more time, so I also wanted to bring up, how do you like the North Texas music scene?
It's
competitive in ways you wouldn't expect.
That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's
especially
very
in Dallas. Denton's become a little bit more competitive over the years.
I would say Fort Worth is the hardest
to get
to break into, especially with all the pay-to-play stuff that's happening a lot these mm-hmm. days. That's quite infuriating.
Yep. That's not my favorite thing. That being said, I think that there's a certain energy in North Texas of everyone's just kind of itching to get somewhere. I'm not sure everyone knows where they're going, but
yeah.
Everyone's kind of itching to make things happen. No one's really satisfied with just sitting on their butts and waiting for things to come to them.
No, everyone's out there working their ass off.
Every time you go to a show, people are very proactive and they're like, let's make things happen. Let's mm-hmm. do shows together. Let's make a collaborative piece or something. Yeah, so there is that energy going on. And if people want to tap into that, it's a great resource.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Now, how important is it to connect with other musicians and, like, venue owners and whatnot?
Because
I know that's critical.
Obscenely crucial.
Yeah.
It's about who you know, and
yeah, it's not about what you know; it's who you know.
Yeah, absolutely,
that's always true.
And cold calling doesn't really work, so you've got to meet people and get them to book you somewhere else. And,
oh yeah,
cold calling works. It's just brutal. It's like applying for a job, but worse. You have to convince people that you are worth their time, which is the struggle with anything, whether it's getting people to shows or booking a show or booking out of town, recording, getting on radio shows or features. You have to convince complete strangers that what you're doing is worth their time. Mm-hmm. And that's always tricky.
You got to be very charismatic with somebody you probably don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, establishing connections and helping each other out definitely is still the best way to do things, I think.
No doubt. Okay, so we got to go into break real quick. But when we come back with the Local Lounge on Talk Radio 1190, we're going to get into some advice about stage presence with Lydia Lowe. Okay. She's overcoming some of it, I understand. But if you have any advice, we'd love to hear it here on the Local Lounge.
We don't care what you want to.
It's a plane. It's Superhero Supervillain with Ziggy Leha, Evan Fee,
and Matt McCauley
on the Local Lounge with Zach Killian, Talk Radio 1190.
This is the war, baby, and all you MILFs are listening to the Local Lounge on Talk Radio 1190.
Hey, Spencer.
What's going on, guys? We're back at the Local Lounge, Talk Radio 1190. You can also get us on the iHeartRadio app by typing in Talk Radio 1190. Zach Killian here. We've got Lydia Lowe and Ben back in, and we're talking anything, everything in the local music scene. And there's a big topic when you're going on stage, overcoming stage fright and just connecting with the audience. I think that's pretty crucial when you're up live, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
It's a struggle for me because I am a very stiff, inhibited person on stage. I'm always terrified of looking like a complete dork, which is the opposite of what you're trying to do on stage. You're supposed to attack it with complete abandon and just let loose the dogs. And yeah, it's something that I struggle with. I've always admired front people who just lose it and smash stuff. Not that I ever would damage public property, but I've always admired that freedom and lack of inhibitions, and I've wanted to try and incorporate more of that in our shows. Some people always talk about, you know, it's a character you put on. You slip into a separate personality or garb or mask and you attack the stage because it's easier when you think of it as someone you're pretending to be and not yourself.
But
then there's also the balance that if it's completely, you know, practiced and forced, people can feel that as well. Mm-hmm. To balance.
Like
being
Kiss
genuine.
Level.
Yeah. And then at that point, you just crossed over and become a complete spectacle. So it's tricky.
Being a spectacle is not a bad
thing. It's not a
it
bad
depends
thing.
On the spectacle.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I've seen some things.
Like there's Gwar. Gwar is just amazing to watch.
Or, oh, yeah. What's that German metal band?
Rammstein,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Rammstein? Yeah.
How do you pronounce that band?
I would say Stein because it's German.
Stein, yeah. I can see
it was
that.
Stein, like, you know, Stein.
Isn't Stein like Jewish and then Stein
yeah,
is German?
I think so.
Okay, I'm trying to get my cultural differences there.
Like, we tried really hard when we figured out our band name to figure out a name that people can't mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And we
failed
epically.
So we thought, yeah, a bartender we love who's also in Tri-County Terror, Erica, she was like, so Spider Madness, that's a great name. We're
Spider
like, what?
Madness?
Yeah, she thought our name was Spider Madness. We're like, no, Erica, it's in Spider.
Has anyone said In Sprite of Madness?
Not yet.
You just did.
In Sprite of Madness, the new refreshing soda.
There you go. You'll have a sponsor in the future.
Oh, man.
Sponsored by Sprite.
Sprite of Madness.
Call us Coke. Come on.
That'd be a pretty damn good endorsement.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you keep up with energy in your set? That was one of the questions you came up with on your Facebook feed.
Yeah. It's something I've been having problems with. Like, I will hug energy drinks before going on stage. I used to take, like, 2 shots before.
That's what I did
on.
right before I got on here. I drank 2 energy drinks because I was just flatlining.
But that sometimes doesn't work. Like, I'll put everything into the first couple of songs, people respond, and you can feel it very immediately. And then my energy will drop because either I mess up on something or I just run out of sugar. And they can feel the audience kind of fading off, going like, okay, I'm going to go into the bathroom and talk to my friends. And they pull back. And it's very responsive. Mm-hmm. If you're not putting it out there, you won't get it back. And
it's a back and forth flow of energy.
Yeah, it's a conversation almost.
Mm-hmm. So what's the most energetic you've been live? Like, what did you do on stage?
I can't talk about that on the air.
Sure you can.
The most energetic I've ever been actually was a day when we did double duty. We played and was it Band Together first?
It was Band Together, Denton, then Andy's.
Yeah, we played as In Spite of Madness at Band Together and then rushed over to Andy's to play as Lydia Lowe and the Booze Bunnies. And so I was running on fumes and a lot of caffeine, and I discovered that vodka energy drinks were a thing.
That'll get the engine going.
Yeah, that sure did. I don't think I've ever thrashed around as much during any show, not even just mine. I was slightly insane that day. And it was great. It was fun. And another time I've been extremely energetic was In Spite of Madness, our amp died on the last song.
Uh-oh.
Like, there was just nothing we could do. Cause
how did you compensate for that?
I ditched the guitar and just started jumping around.
Well, in all fairness, the amp didn't die. The noise gate was being run off the wrong voltage, and that cut out.
That was it. But the point is, guitar was gone. So we made it work, though. And my drummer commented, Bree, she commented afterwards that actually the energy was much higher in that last song than it was in the rest of our set. So originally, we were supposed to have a guitarist, but our first guitarist went to jail before our first show, and we haven't had much luck replacing him so far. So I am the guitarist until we find someone that fits our dream model for a band.
If it works, it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So how is it playing guitar and singing on stage with the band?
It's been a learning process.
Because for me, I've tried playing guitar and singing at the same time. I don't have the aptitude to do two things at once.
It's tricky. I'm much more comfortable on acoustic guitar than I am on an electric, so that's been interesting. Also, new tuning, because we do everything in drop.
Mm. Drop C sharp.
Drop C sharp now. We decided to lower the key further to reduce wear and tear on my voice. Because this band also, I write a lot with Ben. Like, he'll put the chords down, and then I'll put the melody on top of it, and we work from there. So I don't have as much control of what the keys are, and it's definitely been helping to improve my vocal range.
That's good.
Yeah,
getting a little practice in every range always helps.
Oh yeah.
Now you've incorporated a new medium to practice with, just connecting with an audience, doing eye contact.
Yay. And
by using taco stickers.
Yeah,
I made little taco stickers for a Killer's Taco Show we had. And I was trying to give them out to people who put things in a tip jar. You get a taco sticker. And they're really cute. There's like a happy one, a pissed off one, a very satisfied one. And I had a few left over, so I decided to stick them around the band room. Because, you know, in practice, there's the wall, there's the lamp and stuff I could look at. But I think having an actual anthropomorphic face to look at is a little bit more challenging. And yeah, we'll see how that works tonight. I'm not sure.
Are you going to have taco stickers around the venue?
I might just hand them out to people and have them stick it on their faces so I can talk.
There you go. go to the show. You'll get free taco stickers.
Free taco stickers.
Yeah. Free taco stickers for everybody.
Mm-hmm. While supplies last.
While supplies last.
Now, I asked you this question before we got into the interview. I always love asking this one. I want to ask this to both of you. Ben, you haven't been talking too much. I want to get a little bit of your opinion.
Okay.
Now, if you could redo the soundtrack to any movie, motion picture, whatever you want to call it, you could redo the score to it, what movie would you...
Now, so that's an odd question, because is this a soundtrack I don't like that I'd like to redo, or just a movie that
I would love
to work with?
Its soundtrack was erased from history. Like, even VHS tapes, copies have been erased. You are in charge now, buddy.
I mean, the first Star Trek movie has pretty awful music. Not the remake, but the original. Star Trek, the motion picture. And if anyone is listening to this and disagrees with me, I appreciate your opinion, but you're wrong. It's not a good film. And the music is not abysmal. It just makes a boring movie even more boring, I think.
Ooh.
I'll be there for the lynching at Backyard Umbel later.
Hey, you didn't say Star Wars, so at least there's that.
I didn't want to poke that nest of wasps.
No,
oh yeah.
No.
Which, by the way, what'd you think of the new Star Wars trailer?
I haven't watched it because I don't.
I was so let down after Rogue One. That's
Rogue
the title.
One.
We couldn't remember it last night. I was so let down after Rogue One. I just kind of
I fell asleep during it, to be honest.
We laughed a lot.
I'm just really happy about
laughed
Deadpool.
As in good laughter. Laughed as in oh, this is crappy.
The latter of those two things.
The slightly hysterical, you're ruining my childhood laughter. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Gotta make money, Disney.
I will almost take Anakin Skywalker back over this.
Well, you hear Apple might be buying Disney, fun fact.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I read that on the internet, so it might not be
it's
true.
It's like a Russian doll of fish eating each other.
New World Order, baby.
Mm-hmm.
But Lydia, I didn't get your intake on that soundtrack redo.
Oh, dear. I would actually redo Hunchback of Notre Dame, the cartoon.
Ooh.
Because I love the music that was written. And as a kid, I thought that the singers were the best people on the planet. And then I listened to it as an adult and like, they're actually pretty terrible. I don't know why they were asked to sing on this track. They should have asked someone to just dub over. So I would love to take those grand cathedral themes and remake them into a modern way. And also, yeah, sub the singers in for other people that I like. Yes.
That's how I felt about The Rock singing in Moana. So it's like, you don't need to sing, buddy.
But The Rock sang in Milan?
Moana. The new animated
Hawaiian one.
Yeah.
The one Lilo and Stitch?
No.
It came out last year.
Oh, I haven't heard of it.
It's very pretty. I'm going to watch it
one day. It's a pretty movie, but The Rock doesn't need to sing.
Yeah.
Or be dressed as a tooth fairy.
I forgot about that. I kind of blocked that out of my memory.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm going to have nice visions in bed tonight. Anyways, you guys got new music coming out, right?
Yeah. In Spite of Madness, the bassist and rhythm section actually backs me up on my singer-songwriter stuff as the Booze Bunnies. And so my Booze Bunnies and I are recording a new album for Lydia Lowe this May and June. Hopefully it'll be done by July, fingers crossed. I'm actually recording with my little brother back in Singapore.
Because
he does much magic with sound engineering.
You're going to Singapore to record, or he's recording stuff and he's sending it to you?
I'm actually going back to visit, and while I'm there, we're going to lock ourselves in the room and record an album.
Badass.
Yeah. My brother, he also goes by Mr. Yongjin. He does sound engineering. He also does guitar, and he's actually...
dynamic duo of brother and sister, huh?
Yeah. If we could import him for guitar, we would, but he's stuck doing the army there, so he can't over yet.
Well, hopefully he'll be coming by soon.
We might steal him for a tour.
There you go. The Lydia Lowe tour.
Yeah.
In Spite of Madness.
Oh, goodness.
And we've only got about 2 minutes left. Is there anything you guys want to bring up or any advice you want to give some upstart musicians out there?
I would say please record yourself on video, not just audio recording. Like, record yourself on video and watch that. Repeat it and be as mean as...
Critical.
Yeah, be critical. Be worse than my mother. My mother is, like, my best supporter, my scariest critic. Every show she's been to, she comes back with, like, a checklist of things to improve on. That's great.
Good,
I love her, but she's so terrifying. Mm-hmm. She's half my size.
I would say, going back to the, like, stage fright thing,
mm-hmm.
if you're just starting out, I'll say this. Every time I get on stage, the hardest thing to do is play the first note.
Yes.
Once you get to the first couple notes of any given track or song, then everything else will flow. You don't have to worry anymore. It's done. That's the hardest bit, is getting started.
Going to say practice until the things that are the hardest are muscle memory, so you can focus on the fun aspects of performance.
Of course. Now, what about bridging the gap between songs? Like, how do you transition?
We have a drummer. We have a phenomenal drummer who has so much energy. And I just pretty much put a little symbol on the set list, like, fill in here or go straight here. And she just goes.
Especially while switching guitar and bass over. And
yeah, because we do
like
that in Spite of Madness. We have little wireless packs that we just swap instruments.
Oh, you guys just swap instruments? Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah,
I like the little dynamic.
Fun.
Yeah, cool. It works well.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, guys. I'd like to have y'all in a couple months, see how y'all are doing then once y'all's music is out.
We should bring Bree next time.
Absolutely.
She's the friendliest
one. Yeah, let's have
the
full three-piece.
Yes. Might as well.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks
cool.
for having us.
Yes, thank you.
No problem. Well, until next time, you're listening to Local Lounge with In Spite of Madness, Lydia Lowe, and Ben the Bassist here on Talk Radio 1190.
We don't care what you want to.
And we are Zenny Baby, and you're listening to The Local Lounge.